Listen to what the Supreme Court said in the United States concerning the Ten Commandments. If the posted copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, meditate upon, perhaps to venerate and obey the commandments. This is not a permissible state objective. James Wilson, a signer of the Constitution and original justice on the United States Supreme Court and co-author of America's first legal commentaries on the Constitution, he said, "Human law must rest its authority ultimately upon the authority of that law which is divine. Far from being rivals or enemies, religion and law are twin sisters. Indeed, these two sciences run into each other. The divine law forms an essential part of both." In 1962, the 22-word unconstitutional prayer, "Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependency upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country." This prayer acknowledges God the same amount of times as the Pledge of Allegiance and a quarter times as the Declaration of Independence, yet this prayer was unconstitutional? In Abington versus Shemp in 1962, the court reported that only 3% of the nation did not believe in religion or God. The unconstitutional prayer was consistent with the beliefs of 97% of the country, thus making 3% the majority for the first time in America. In this prayer, we ask God to bless four things: students, families, schools, and the nation. Before 1962 and 1963, the courts used biblical guidelines in all four areas. George Washington warned in his farewell address, "Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds, reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle." What happened to students after 1962 when the United States Supreme Court committed an oligarchy? That's where few rule over many in doing their best to eradicate the Ten Commandments. Birth rates for unwed girls 15 to 19 years old have increased every year and have gone up 553% in girls 10 to 14 years old. Sexually transmitted diseases increased dramatically to a 226% ratio in students 15 to 19 years old and have gone up 257% in, again, ages 10 to 14 years old. Premarital sex up 365% in teenagers 16 years old, 271% in teenagers 17 years old, and 209% in teenagers 18 years old, and 1,000% up in teenagers 15 years old. What happened in schools after 1962? SAT scores plummeted for 18 consecutive years. The rates are so low that the Department of Education states that this is the first time in American history that we are graduating out a generation of students who academically know less than their parents did. The SAT test has been the same since 1941, yet there is nearly an 80-point difference between the two generations. In 1962, there were only 1,000 Christian schools, but by 1984, there were 32,000 Christian schools in the United States. Currently, 8.5 million students attend religious private schools, and SAT scores are nearly 80 points higher for private school students. These private schools even receive two-fifths less funding per student and are still topping the charts because of their teaching of Christian principles in school. what happened in the nation after 1962?
A test of a Christian character is what he does after he comes to the blockade in the road and what his attitude is after everything has left him except Jesus. You will never know down here that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have left. You will never be able to tell the world for sure what he will do in a crisis unless you learn to live in crisis. Lester Roloff. President Franklin Pierce was right when he stated that the storm of frenzy and faction must inevitably dash itself in vain against the unshaken rock of the Constitution. How right he is. President James Knox Polk said, "One great object of the Constitution in conferring upon the President a qualified negative upon the legislation of Congress was to protect minorities from injustice and oppression by majorities."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently, we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean. I'm just looking at this right now. If you want to go ahead and look up at the screen, sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of the page, subscribe. sonsoflibertymedia.com. Also, check us out on beforeitsnews.com, top left side of that page as well. If you want to call in at any time, please do 1-281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. I'm just looking at this right now because this is the thoughts that I had preceding the show here, and it is all of the charities, the Catholic charities, Salvation Army, the Lutheran churches and social services that are actually alluring the illegals in. They were the ones that actually processed them in through to the country, for those that didn't know. Folks, we have Judas helping Judas now, right? Commit the act of treason. And I'm talking about Article 3, Section 3. And the scriptural reference is Luke 22, 48. And I'm sitting back thinking to myself, my goodness. So we have the said churches in America so far backwards from scripture. Now, remember, there's walls in heaven, friends, okay? And there is a reason we have borders, just for the record. But it's interesting that we see these Lutheran social services and Salvation Army so far from what William and Catherine Booth established, the Catholic churches, aiding corruption in government to, again, process these illegals into America. By the way, do you know who's actually busing them in, their air-conditioned buses? It's the Department of Homeland Security. And weren't they established back in 2001 for the very purpose of protecting our borders? Or at least that's how it was sold to us, right? I mean, just do your best to forget what James Madison said, the fourth president of the United States, when he said if tyranny or oppression ever come into this country, it's going to come in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah, I mean, just look at the definition of the word terrorism itself. Oxford's original definition in Old English is government by intimidation, and it's exactly what's happening. But again, I'm highlighting the fact that the church in America, the professors in the church, are the ones that were processing those that were committing the act of treason, hand in glove with the corrupt in government that were stealing our money to give those in those said churches to process those illegals that have committed high crimes against we the people. I mean, I could do a whole show just on the crimes that have been committed on the American people by the illegals that have been lured into this country illegally. But, you know, it's also interesting, too. So if you look to other countries, you can look all over Europe now. And when you look all over Europe now, you're seeing people in mass protest. Listen carefully. You're seeing people in mass protest. You're seeing them in France. You're seeing them in Germany, the UK now. What are they doing? They're demanding for mass deportation of the illegals. Why? Because they said they had enough. Now, keep in mind, you're going to catch up to this, too. It's just a matter of how much crime you're going to tolerate concerning the illegals, how much crime you're going to consider concerning that which is coming for or that is, which is occupying the people's house in government all across the country, the capitals, and how much you're going to tolerate the corruption that you see in the Church of America today. Because that's really what it comes down to. I want to show you something really quick. This is a bunch of people in Portsmouth that are demanding the removal of the said Islamists now, because they understand now as to why they were imported into their countries by the corrupt politicians in the first place. And this is happening simultaneously. This is happening on a worldwide basis. You are paying attention to this, right, friends? You are paying attention to this. And do understand, I just had a friend online. I said a friend online. Just say it seems that evil is winning. No, evil's not winning. The Lord is winning because he's now judging nations for their rebellion. That's what he's judging them for. If we know anything about the prophets, folks, we can understand clearly as to what's going on. Never is man in control of anything. God is always using man for his purposes, regardless if he's blessing a nation or if he's cursing a nation. I just wanted to make that clear, okay? Read Leviticus 26, 15 to 46. Go over to Deuteronomy 28. Go to 15 all the way to 63. Again, slow your roll when you read it, and you're going to see exactly what you're seeing concerning the judgments of God and who's behind the judgments that are taking place as to who is winning. Because he promised that nation that turned their back on him that he would turn that nation into hell. Okay, so really what we're doing is we're recompensing that which we have sown. And the Lord's not going to tolerate it, nor is he going to leave himself without witness, okay? And that's exactly what's happening concerning these judgments. But here, again, let me go back over to Portsmouth and show you, and listen carefully, friends, as to what's happening now in other countries, because this is happening on a mass scale throughout the European provinces that we know of today concerning their call and demand. They're demanding their politicians deport these people for the very purposes of the crimes that they're guilty of committing. Check this out. Okay, but in America, the American people somehow or another believe that there's something called sanctuary cities. I would love for somebody to call in and set me straight on this. Can somebody show me where it's okay for politicians hand in glove with corrupt churches, as they call themselves? Can somebody please show me where they have the constitutional authority to treasonously allure these illegals in to commit crimes against we the people? As America, we're being dispossessed just like it's taken them how many years to finally figure out, wait a second, now we understand. Why is it that people have to first suffer the abuse before they understand and recognize things that I continuously convey on this radio program? I mean, I'm making reference to the Word. I'm making reference to the history that teaches us. I mean, that's all I have to do is go to the Library of Congress, and I'll see right up on the front door there, right up the stairs, friends, you're going to see right to the right and to the left, you're going to see statutes, and it's going to say, study the past. Study the past. The reason we're told by our forefathers to study the past is so that the past, good or bad, doesn't reoccur or repeat itself. History, friends, is there for us to learn from, and it's the cycle that the Lord continuously tells us to go back to, namely, go back to the old past. Well, when we go back to the old past, Jeremiah 6:16, what do we find? We find out exactly what we're supposed to do to avoid what's taking place today in this country. I got a question for everybody. How is the new thing working out for you? How is all of this, we got to do this because the old isn't working? Folks, remember, the Ten Commandments, they need to be enforced by good men in office. Everybody's tired of man's 10,000 commandments, and I'm telling you, deal with your politicians and reinstate the Ten Commandments. That's how you do it, right? We're going to take a quick break. Sons of Liberty Media.com, Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Again, we'll be right back. Hello, WPNN 790 AM and 103.7 FM. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Just a quick heads up and invitation. We are coming back to Pensacola to face off with them that didn't want you to hear what it is that they have failed to preach. We're going to be at Sonny's Barbecue, 630 North Navy Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, Friday, April 25th at 6 p.m., and we hope to see you there.
Join us this year for Content Christian Media Conference. Join hundreds of filmmakers, actors, screenwriters, podcasters, and authors during this five-day, five-star event. Come expectant and leave equipped as a content creator for the kingdom of God. September 22nd through 26th at Capernaum Studios in Poolville, Texas. Register today at ChristianMediaConference.com. That's ChristianMediaConference.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble. Our churches, our families, we need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends, as you are to be the compeers of angels, nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints.
BBSradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Would love to hear from you. 281-845-4704. Okay. 281-845-4704. Yesterday, I took the time and I highlighted some of the things that have been going along inside of the Church of America, as far as they could get it to go along, right? Until someone finally stood up and demanded justice within the walls of the American church. I talked about Steve Lawson. I talked about the guy out in Texas who has 100,000 people in his congregation, and how he was basically making a prey out of none other than a 12-year-old kid. I highlighted this guy right here, former pastor of Jimmy Carter, again, Baptist Church, arrested for child solicitation. I mean, folks, again, I don't understand these people in any sense of the word. It's like, what are we doing? The other guy I was talking about, by the way, was Robert Morris. And the list goes on. Jerry Falwell, the Bakers. I mean, the list goes on. A lot of these said pastors are coming out as sodomites. Or what they're doing is they're just coming out and they're just showing you who they really are. And I guess that's the reason I'm standing in the gap, per se, friends, is because most people don't take the time to understand that something's really seriously wrong when it comes to the responsible party concerning what's going on in their country. And as I've said, friends, John Adams was right when he said that the church is called to be the moral compass of society. We're called to be the light of the world that reproves the darkness. You know, I was just thinking about this morning. You know, the scripture teaches us, friends, that the message that Jesus gave, Mark 1:15, Matthew 3:2, Acts 2:38, Acts 20:21, it's amazing to me. The message is from the Lord, repent and believe, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? A repentance towards God in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and the law brings us there as the schoolmaster, Galatians 3:24. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, the world is now demanding that the church conform to the spirit of the world and their demoralized, abominable lifestyles. So now the world is preaching to the church, you better repent, because if not, our favorite corrupt politicians in the halls of government are going to create laws and they're going to make you repent. Why is this happening? Because the church has failed to leave off the message that the Lord had given them. The Lord didn't come into the world to tell the world it was okay, friends. That's not at all what he said. Now, I mean, if we're to put on his righteousness and remove ours through repentance, a work of the Holy Ghost, John 16, starting in verse 8, then how could it be otherwise? I mean, it's so far backwards. And I'll tell you why. Because of universalism. The people have taken on that there's no regeneration demanded by the Lord whatsoever. That's what born again means, by the way, John 3:3. Also read Titus 3:5. But going back to the point I was just making, friends, isn't this insane? Yesterday, I'd highlighted the fact that a married pastor who quit the church to become a stripper, no joke, after coming out as queer, says selling X-rated content on OnlyFans is her new calling. This is what the American people have listened to. This is what the American people have equated Christianity to. This is an abomination. Again, that must be the reason I'm standing in the gap here, friends. And I'll tell you what, at times it's very lonely. Because as I see the Word of God and I see what's going on out there, it's amazing to me how the said pastors and said preachers and the false prophets of today are overlooking the mandate and the message that Christ commanded them through the Holy Ghost that they must preach. It's a thing of the past. It's out of sight and out of mind. Hey, Americans, got a question for you. How is that new thing working out for you? How is it working out for you? Did you know that it tells us in, going over there right now, as a matter of fact, 24:21, it says this. It says, we're not to meddle with them that are to give or to give themselves over to change. 24:21. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite. It tells us to go back to the old past in Jeremiah 6:16. It doesn't say anything about taking on the new and going along to get along, like you see in, the pulpits across America and in the halls of government. Nope. Again, you know what compromise is, friends. That's where two men get together and they both agree on what they know is wrong. See, folks, they're all groping for the middle way. And see, what they don't understand is Scripture tells us in Revelation 3, verse 19, it talks about how the middle way is the way where you're lukewarm and the Lord said he would spew you out of his mouth. He said, either be hot or cold. He said, be all the way in and consecrated unto me, or else be completely out. Do yourself a favor, because to be in the center, you're going to get shot from both sides. And I'll tell you, at the end of the day, friends, it's not going to fare for anybody that's trying to justify what the Lord condemns in any sense of the word. So anyways, I wanted to highlight that. And I also wanted to bring you back over to something that I talked about yesterday in just a moment here. We have a friend, Alex Newman, out of Florida there. And what's interesting is he just did an article on sonsoflibertymedia.com, and they just did a brand new Barna research, and he did an interview with George Barna, and they found that only 37% of pastors in U.S. have biblical worldview. I'll tell you what, I would like to meet those 37%, because out of the 3,000 times I've done this publicly and have been on the radio for, what, 20-some years now, I have yet to meet those guys. There's very far and few between that understand what it is that they're called to do on this earth. Hey, folks, God's will being done on this earth as it is in heaven isn't you being defeated. No. No, it also doesn't entail you removing the cross. It entails, through a command again, that you bear your cross and you follow the Lord. He comes and bids you to die as you follow him. And let me say it this way so you understand perfectly, that unless you have found something to die for, you have found nothing to live for. And I'm talking about righteousness, friends. But look at this. 37% of the pastors in the U.S. have a biblical worldview. It just goes back to what I've always said. That's why I've continuously highlighted children of the apostate. Hey, folks, they're available. They'll be sent out first thing in the morning. You'll have them within 2 to 3 days. The USPS says 3 to 5 days. I'm telling you the importance and the propheticness of this book as to how the Lord drew the line in the sand. It's in this book. I'm not trying, folks. If it was about money, I'm in the wrong business. I'm not one of those gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy preachers. It's never been us. It'll never be us. It's always been about putting the hand to the plow, not looking back, and getting the word out there and telling people what nobody else wants to tell them. And why is that? Because they lack love, though they talk much of it. We'll get to that in just a couple minutes. You also remember not too long ago, I highlighted the fact that George Barna did a research where they found out that out of the 100% of pastors, over 300,000 pulpits, by the way, who remain silent in the face of what's taking place in their country today, who refuse to preach against the sins of the nation, and it is across the board for the most part. Hey, the good preachers are the ones that are in the corner. You probably never heard of them before. They're in the corners. They're hard to find, okay? But let me go back to this. They refuse to preach out against the sins of the nation. 90% of those, when they were approached by George Barna Research Group, when they were asked, do these topics need to be dealt with in the church? 90% of the 100% said, yes, they do. The 90% were then asked, are you going to go ahead and convey this over to your congregation? Did you know that it was less than 10% that responded? And did you also know that there was crickets? Because it never went further than that. Let me stop and say something right now. Christianity is in demonstration, period. All of these that are raising up people, as they call them, in the churches today in America, for the most part, the popular preachers again, okay, I want you to remember something. They're not partaking with the duties that Christ demands. It's faith without works, and yet they're teaching you what not to do all day long through their example of a lack. And as a matter of fact, in promoting a spirit of Antichrist through their apathy, through their tolerance, through their heretical teachings, through their lack of action. Love is always in demonstration, friends, and so is your walk with Christ. And if you have to preach to the whole world, do so by the grace of God. And friends, if you have to, use words, okay? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your actions speak a lot louder than your words do, friends. I want to get to this, something I had said to you yesterday about Paula White. There's some new stuff coming out. I told you Donald Trump, he loves scoundrels. And he himself is a scoundrel. He doesn't like having intellectual people around him because he doesn't want to be outshined. He can only do and say what he's told to do and say by his handlers, as we all well know. And one such person that he's appointed, her name is Paula White. If he could have picked anybody worse, we don't know who she could have been. Why he appointed a woman when the Bible tells us in Isaiah 3, a curse to a nation is first and foremost is when the young people and the women will be the oppressors. That's a sign of judgment as well. When you look at Paula White, she is a sign of judgment upon this nation. And look who she's promoting, friends. Another scoundrel. That whole circle, a bunch of scoundrels, friends. We'll be right back, sonsoflibertyradio.com. I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you some video concerning what I'm talking about here and playing some audio. sonsoflibertymedia.com.
Hello, I'm Eric Hollander, award-winning graphic designer and documentarian. I've known Bradley Dean for the better part of 2 decades, and in all that time, I've been a witness to his consistent passion for Jesus Christ, America, its young people, and the veterans who fought to keep us free. Bradley's radio show, The Sons of Liberty, addresses the heroic values our nation once championed, but sadly are fading in an increasingly self-centered culture. Never one to pull punches, Bradley tells it like it is, boldly proclaiming truth to those with ears to hear.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Our theme this year is Revival and Reverence, Returning to God, with some great speakers, including the courageous Pastor Art Pawlowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brower, Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, and more. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com. This is sure to be the highlight of your year.
It's called sowing a thought. Sow a thought and reap an act. Sow an act and reap a habit. Sow a habit and reap a character. Sow a character and reap a destiny. Remember, friends, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Charles Spurgeon rightly stated that no man is perfectly clean till he accepts absolute purity as the standard by which he is to be judged. Interestingly enough, we find in Acts 17:31, it states, because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus, whom he hath foreordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Benjamin Rush was right when he stated, controversy is only dreaded by the advocates of error. Don't ever forget.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you,
you can receive
then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Bob the Plumber from IMTV. We've been working with Bradley Dean. Done several shows with him, and I really love Bradley. What I love most about him is his knowledge of Scripture. I even asked him a question live on the air one time that would have embarrassed 99% of all people. Bradley knew immediately the answer.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. By the way, friends, if you get a moment, but what you need to do is you need to take the time and go over to the schedule. We just got another date today, and I knew it was just a matter of time before they'd start rolling in. We got about a three-month window. We got a couple dates set up in Florida right now. We got the state fair coming up, talking about in September. Just picked up another date for the end of May now here in the state of Minnesota. So we're happy that people are starting to understand that they better do something and they better not sit on their said morals any longer, because they need to understand that apathy and tolerance only add strength to more tyranny. And so check out the sonsoflibertymedia.com. Go over to the schedule there, and you will see the dates that we have set up. Margie, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. What say you, my friend?
Hey, Bradley. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, Restore Minnesota has got a petition out there to impeach no other than Tim Walz.
Amen.
And this was sent to me. Yeah, it was sent to me from one of your Daughters of Liberty. And we are on this, and we're going to print some off and go door to door in teams, not individually, And praise God, we can get this done. And I wanted you to know first and foremost, but I need a response. I've had friends contact me, and two friends said to me, "Margie, you're so angry. Why don't you just live in peace and let God handle this?"
I
need a response, Brad, because that's a Christian cop-out in my world.
Yeah, and she should get on the phone and tell that to the third world countries that are being slaughtered right now. And apparently she knows little of our history. If you take the time to understand our history, it's pretty crazy what our forefathers went through. As a matter of fact, go to the end of the Declaration of Independence, and you'll see not only what it is that they went through, but what they sacrificed. And in the process, you're going to see a four appeals to heaven in the process of fighting for their independence. It just shows you their biblical ignorance. And that is the very reason that it's that mentality right there is the very reason that we're in trouble today. Because if you look at even their forefathers, those that went before them, they had a sacrifice to give them the freedom that they have too. And it's going to apply to every generation until there is no more generations to be had, that without the fight of faith, you're going to have nothing. And common sense comes into play here. It really does.
It really does. And it's so disheartening. You know, I've gotten crickets from a lot of people, and I don't have a problem going to door to door. I'm a little bit of a chicken trying to maybe want to do it by myself, and I don't care. Slam your door in my face, whatever. But I just think, you know, and if anybody wants this petition sent to them, any of your Minnesota listeners, they can message me, and Bradley, I'll send it to you, and then you can send it to them too. We need to get this going. And also let it be known that this will go to the representatives, and if it's ignored, it could reach the Supreme Court.
Amen.
And also Walz will get a copy of this. So
he already knows. Oh, it is. You're absolutely right, and I totally agree. As a matter of fact, you should connect with Stacy, also out of Minnesota, who calls in quite a bit. But this is what happens when people mean what they say. They begin the impeachment process. They begin to let people know what's going on. And it's amazing to me how anybody can sit back after the crimes of a pedophile like Tim Walz and allow him to remain in office. But again, they've been dummied down to believe that, you know, that while the people voted him in, apparently they're not paying attention to the massive voter fraud taking place. Well, you know, if they voted him in, he's got to stay there until the end of his tenure, as if to suggest he can keep committing crimes through the process until his next 4 years are up. I mean, this is how ignorant people have become in this country. If they lie for the smallest reasons, you impeach them, you prosecute them, you don't allow them to continuously assail you by upending who you are, especially in the face of what they swore that they would do. So if the people aren't going to do it, nobody's going to do it. They're just going to keep incrementally growing and breeding themselves until nobody can stand up against them. And at the end of the day, like any other communist nation, the law used against the law, when they have nobody else to kill, then they self-inflict. And it's exactly what we're going to see. We're going to see the self-combustion if the American people don't respond. It's just history, just common sense. So I totally appreciate the phone call. I thought you were gone, Margie. I apologize for that. Thomas Paine said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom, like men, must undergo the fatigue of supporting it." 1-281-845-4704. Now listen, folks, right at the end of the show yesterday, during the last segment, I don't know why people like to call during the last segment. Don't wait till the last segment, but do your best to add to, like what Margie just did. This is what we're doing. I want the people, I want the country to see this is how you do it. And people, you have to understand something. You have to go through the process so you can turn around and say, look what the Lord did. People want to see that the Lord's with you, just the same way that they did with Moses, just the same way that they did with Joshua, just the same way that they did with Samson, just the same way that they did with Gideon. It applies to all of us. Everybody wants to see that the Lord is with us, because if they see that the Lord is with us, they're going to move on it. And that's, by the way, if you go back to the civil rights movement, that's exactly what was going on there. And it's also interesting, just a side note for all of you theologians, for all of you that actually read your Bibles, isn't it interesting that for every 6 feet, there was a blood sacrifice? See, people want freedom for free, But see, they don't understand that freedom is not free. Someone had to sacrifice themselves to give them the freedom that they have. We are a blood-bought people in the natural and in the spiritual. So with that, I got to stick to the topic because I want to ask you, how's that new thing working out for you, America? How's it working out for you? How's your apathy? How's your tolerance working out for you? And I'm talking about those that Margie just brought to the light. How's that working out for you? Tell your kids what you didn't do to preserve the freedoms that you have. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that rather hypocritical? Somebody fought to give them the freedoms that they have, and now when it's their turn to actually stand up and fight, they're showing the whole world, namely in this country, and I've seen a lot of it over the last 5 years. Hey, folks, they love their country so much that when it's their opportunity to actually prove how much they love it and fight for the freedom of their up-and-coming posterity, they're MIA. They're nowhere to be found. They're the worst of men. They don't deserve the freedoms that they have. But okay, let's get back to this. How's the new thing working out for you? Yesterday, I brought up something to you about Paula White, and I'm going to go back to this because I want you to see this. I always want to back up everything that we talk about concerning the topics on this radio show. Well, Paula White, as I just said, she has no business in the church whatsoever. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as saith the law." This is 1 Corinthians 14:34. And then when you look at 1 Timothy 2:12, what does it say? It says, "But I suffer not, I do not allow a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Why would Donald Trump himself pick such a witch as the one that he appointed? I mean, 1 Kings 13:33 always comes to my aid. But I wanted to show you something because Paula White, she's been married several times. She's a part of a Ponzi scheme. She is a criminal, just like the ones that appointed her. That's why they appointed her. And yesterday I brought up the fact that when you look at her husband, remember how I was talking about all the things that were going on in the church and all these said pastors just recently falling, which I'm not gloating in. I'm just showing you folks that they are lawless individuals. They've never repented, and yet they're in the pulpits teaching you about the things of Jesus from their head. God speaks to the heart, not the head. I brought up her husband. And I brought up her husband, and I said, "Do you remember when he got up in the pulpit and he was talking about telling the congregants of Paula White to go ahead and watch pornography?" Here, I just want you to hear it. I just want you to see it for yourself. By the way, if you want to call in, 281-845-4704. Let's check this out. Did he really say it or did he not?
"One big happy family. Wait till we get to your sex life. We're just starting right now. I realize the
what
kids are
creepy
in here. Praise
snake.
The Lord. Thank you, Pastor Doug."
Well, I think, too, women have to, or don't have to, but women should look at a man and find out what turns him on. I mean, and you can talk about this. This is something that, you know, how freaky do you want to get? You know what I mean? And if you don't have that conversation with your man,
I love my husband.
If you don't have that conversation...
No, what you
then,
should say
you know,
is I love my third husband is really what she should be saying.
You're not fulfilling everything that he really truly wants. And so that this part, the sexual fulfillment, comes with deep study within each other. You have to look inside and say, what turns you on? You know, what is it that you like to do? And if you don't have that conversation, it's going to be broken.
So, listen carefully.
And the other part of it is, ladies, if you don't know what he likes, you know, figure it out. Get a book. Go get some porn. Do something. Whatever. He likes to watch porn, watch porn.
They're laughing about it.
It's like...
They're laughing about it. The said congregation of Paula White, they're clapping their hands. I have a friend that's a... I should say an acquaintance, because he's not a friend. Forgive me. I remember he worked at the Sheridan in Buffalo, or in Bloomington, Minnesota. And he had told me that every time they have these prosperity, these gimme, 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 my name is Jimmy, preachers, they call themselves, they're charlatans, they're whores. That's what the Bible calls them. In town, he said every time they have conferences, he said 90% of the rooms that are occupied by the said congregants that are going to those prosperity meetings are watching pornography. 90% of them. Well, that's the message that they preach. And yet Jesus, nobody preached out against covetousness more than Christ himself did. Going back to what this guy just said, Jonathan Cain from Journey, her third husband, go watch porn as they're laughing about it. It's interesting to know, friends, that Paula White's sitting there smiling and laughing about it. Did you know that that is illegal in this country, pornography? Did you know also that the Lord condemns it through adultery and fornication? Yet they're laughing about it. This is why we are. This is who the people are that are being led by these sorts of people.
This is Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BVS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BVS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Per your request, if you're looking for unique and creative ways to spread the gospel and give people the gift of truth in a way it'll be received, then check out the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. There's something there for everybody in your life: books, DVDs, t-shirts, coffee mugs, even graphic novels, dog tags, and more. Young or old, you're sure to find the perfect gift of truth. Again, go to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com and check out our store today.
Hello, WPNN 790 AM and 103.7 FM. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com. Just a quick heads up and invitation. We are coming back to Pensacola to face off with them that didn't want you to hear what it is that they have failed to preach. We're going to be at Sonny's Barbecue, 630 North Navy Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, Friday, April 25th at 6 p.m. And we hope to see you there. Let us not be found amongst the common herd, friends, as you are to be the compeers of angels. Nay, as you are far higher than they, and one with Christ, and as the precious blood has been your ransom price, walk as becometh saints. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see people complaining they didn't get their notifications again. Oh, interesting. Okay. 281-845-4704. I was just talking about the appointee of Donald Trump. Matter of fact, let me go over here really quick, because I was just kind of piggybacking off of yesterday's show, because I wanted to back up from Jonathan, Paula White's husband, concerning the truth of the matter, that he did say that. They're basically promoting what put Christ on the cross. You do need to understand that. It's a spirit of Antichrist. Read 1 John 2:15. Okay? Yesterday, I had highlighted this. And in the process of doing so, it was amazing about how all the Trump worshipers, Acts 12:22, were trying to justify him by choosing her, by saying, "Who are you to judge?" Again, taking it out of context. They have no idea what love is whatsoever, friends. Read Luke 11:42. Okay. Now, I want to go on and I want to show you. This is brand new. This just came out from Donald Trump's appointee, a witch who has no business whatsoever, nor any other woman, if, as far as scripture goes, 1 Timothy 2:12, 1 Corinthians 14:34, in being in the pulpit. So God's law condemns the promotion that Paula White has been given. I don't know, by the way, and I've been to the top. And I have access in part to the top. And I'm talking about the hierarchy of the Church of America today. I am here to tell you, I don't know anybody that takes her serious. Beth Moore is another one. All these women that are in the church, I don't know that anybody takes them serious. The only ones that are taking them serious are the ones that are profiting from them. Okay? I want you to see this. And this is exactly what Scripture tells us, that when they preach gain is godliness, the Bible says from such withdraw yourself. Get away from them. Okay? I'm not talking about sowing it into a ministry and keeping them abroad. I'm not talking about that. Common sense comes into play. Someone's got to support it to keep them out there if they're bearing fruit, right? Well, look what she does. She's selling the gospel, and this is exactly why, again, real Christians and real preachers, far and few between though they are just outraged about what's going on here. This is brand new. This is Paula White promises that if you give her $1,000 before Easter, well, I'll let her tell
you. I believe that when you honor God on Passover, starting on April 12th at sundown through Good Friday.
Okay, so again, I want you to understand something. What is Passover, okay? Isn't that where the blood was taken of a type of a Christ from a lamb without spot or blemish and struck on the lintels of the door? So we're a blood-bought people, and she's taking it from being blood-bought to a system of indulgence. That is the prosperity message. And I am here to tell you that God has cursed that and condemned that at every given step. As a matter of fact, if you go over to Luke 11:42 again, you're going to see perfectly as to what I'm talking about. The Pharisees said, well, look what we've done. Look what we've given. And the Lord says, you've overlooked the love of God and the judgment of God. None of that in the modern day message. Listen to this. Again, this is Donald Trump's appointee.
Friday on the 18th and concluding on Easter Sunday, you can receive these seven supernatural blessings for you and your house. According to Exodus 23, God will assign an angel to you. He'll be an enemy to your enemies. He'll give you prosperity. He'll take sickness away from you.
Oh, dude.
He will give you
dangerous
long life. He'll bring increase in inheritance. And he'll give a special year of blessing. You're not doing this to get something.
Oh, yeah,
you're
you are.
You're doing it in honor to God, realizing what you can receive.
For your special Passover offering of $1,000 or more as the Holy Spirit leads.
I don't know what to say. I've said it so many different ways. 1,000 times over. How's that work? How's that new thing working out for you, friends? How's it working out for you? Well, you say, well, I didn't choose her. No, but you tolerate her. Okay? They're taking these people and they're casting them in your teeth. As if to suggest the impression, the message they're giving to the masses is, look at this is what represents Jesus Christ. No, it is not. This is what Jesus Christ condemns. Exactly. Absolutely. Don't suggest to me as if she doesn't know what she's doing. She knows exactly what she's doing. This week on during church, I was tipping into this, and I'll probably get to this at church on Sunday again. But I did an article called Put This Love of Old Up Against Those Who Talk Much of Love Today. And I'm just going to give you a quick download because Scripture tells us in Psalm 94:12, it says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and whom you teach out of your law. And I highlighted it to the fact in comparison to what I've seen since I've been in the church. It's another popular preacher, whoever he may be, who drives the same false gospel as the others, driving the same leavened narrative, wicked doctrines, talking about the love of God. Because love seems to be the popular message of many of the 1960s hippie hirelings that are occupying the pulpits in America today, John 10:12. But what's worse is they know nothing of the love of God. After all, holding God's love that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, who's been given unto us, hates what he hates and loves what he loves. Right? Isn't that true? Psalm 97:10, Romans 12:9. Yep. Furthermore, the love of God fulfills the law. It does not remove it. Right? And faith does not abrogate the law. It establishes it. Romans 3:31. Furthermore, when you go to Isaiah 8:20, what does it say? To the law and to the testimony, if thou speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. These that are talking about the love of God over and over and over again, the word says they have no light in them. So what they're doing is they're equating love to their emotions and their fallen state. When you look to the fruit of the lawless society that they've raised up over the last 65 years, and they're still tolerated among those that sit in the pews, and the only reason they're still tolerated amongst those that sit in the pews is because those that are sitting in the pews haven't taken the time concerning the mandate of Jesus himself when he said, you must know concerning my doctrine, John 7:17. Now, how contrary to the preachers who were so used by the Lord to establish the very foundations of this country, which are quickly being effaced, eroded, erased, expunged, if you will. Only if the congregants in this country would look to those that have gone before them, they would then clearly see the truth of what has been written here. Read Hebrews 13:7. I want you to listen to this in ending. And if we go over a little bit, that's okay. If you're listening to us by radio and you want to check us out online, sonsoflibertymedia.com. I'm up on the top left side of the page, and or beforeitsnews.com, top left side of that page as well. I want to go with this. Thomas Brooks, listen to what he says about the love of God, 1608 to 1680. This is just one such example of what real love is. And I'm putting this up in the face of what you have been taught to understand as to what love is. In action, rather than in action, okay? Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest. He goes on, Thomas Brooks does. And he said, if by your outward afflictions, your soul be brought more under the inward teaching of the God, doubtlessly thy afflictions are in love. See, that love understands reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness. Today, because you're being reproved or you're being corrected or you're being instructed in righteousness, the said sheeple and goats that are sitting, the wheat and the tares that are sitting in the pulpits today, they've been taught to say from the hireling in the pulpit that that is the judgment of God, and who are you to judge? That's not at all what it's saying, and furthermore, that's not in context. Love does just that. All the chastening in the world, said Thomas Brooks, without divine teaching will never make a man blessed. The man that finds correction attended with instruction and lashing with lessons is a happy man if God, by the affliction that is upon thee, shall teach thee how to loathe, hate sin more, how to trample upon the world more, and how to walk with God more. That is love, saith Thomas Brooks. If your afflictions are in love, if God shall teach thee by afflictions how to die to sin more, how to die to the relations more, how to die to the self-interest more, he said, your afflictions are in love, because that's what the Holy Ghost is teaching you. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to live to Christ more, how to lift up Christ more, and how to long for Christ more, your afflictions are in love. Thomas Brooks goes on and says, if God shall teach thee by afflictions how to live to Christ more, how to lift up Christ more, and how to long for Christ more, your afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions to get assurance of a better life and to be still in a gracious readiness and preparedness for the day of your death, your afflictions are in love. In other words, you're working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to mind heaven more. Hang on a second, folks. I'm going to go on here. Radio listeners, if you want to jump on, sonsoflibertymedia.com and or beforeitsnews.com. Go ahead and check us out online right now. Outside of that, we love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18, and we will talk to you in 23 hours. Let me finish this, please. I'm almost done. Thomas Brooks from the 1600s teaches that God chasteneth those that he loves. It aligns itself with Scripture perfectly every step of the way. This is how the Holy Ghost teaches his children. Read Psalm 94, verse 12. Now, let me go back down here. If God shall teach thee by afflictions to get assurance of a better life and to still be in a gracious readiness and a preparedness for the day of thy death, thy afflictions are in love. If God shall teach thee by afflictions how to mind heaven more and how to be fit more for heaven, your afflictions are being done in love. I want to tell you something, folks. I seen Jesse Duplantis one day. This was when I was first being raised up in the church. It was interesting. This guy gets up in front of about 2,000 to 3,000 people. He's another false prophet to the core. I believe they know what they're doing, folks. I believe that they are a part of some messianic organization within, transforming themselves as angels of light. And the only way that they get a hold of that or get away with that, again, is because they're dependent upon the people not to know the word of God, like corrupt politicians depend upon the people not to know the Constitution. That's how they get away with it, right? But I remember Jesse Duplantis one time said, listen, if you don't learn it here, you're going to learn it there. Put that in the face of that message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Put sanctification, regeneration, put that in the face of the word of God concerning what Jesse Duplantis just got done saying. What about purging yourself? What about that, Jesse Duplantis? What about the fruits of the Spirit in 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11? Folks, what I'm saying is they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of the cross. They're saying deny. They're not saying deny yourself and take up your cross the way Christ did. They're saying no, deny Christ, deny the cross, and here's the new version of a gospel that's bringing the curse upon the land. Galatians 1:8. That's what he said. If you don't learn it here, you're going to learn it there. No, no, no. This is your testing ground. This is your opportunity. This is to work. This is the time that has been given unto us. The Lord clearly tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil, period. Again, let me remind you that Jesus said that we're to strive to enter in. He said, straight and narrow and difficult is the way. He said, many will seek to enter, but will not be able to. This guy saying, don't worry about any of that. If you don't learn it now, just go ahead, live like the devil. And then when you die, you're going to have to learn it in heaven. Really? Is that what Christ died for? That is insane. That is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. That is heretical from start to finish. But then again, this is the same guy that gets up there in front of his little congregants and his little circle of the Kenneth Copelands and the Mac Hammonds and the list goes on, the Joyce Meyers, the Paula Whites, all of these ones that have been put up, friends. You better understand that they've been put up. They've been put up to lower the standard and put eyes on the preacher, right? Instead of, or the hireling, instead of the Christ. Do they preach that? Absolutely not. Christ crucified is out of sight and out of mind. Get away from that church. That is the pearl of the church, Christ crucified. If they're not preaching that, you better get away from it because the Holy Ghost hovers around the cross. Okay? Period. Let me finish this. Where God loves, he afflicts. Is it true? Do you love your kids? Do you allow your kids to go without chastisements? Because if you do, the Bible's clear. It says that you hate your son or your daughter. Why? Because you withhold your rod. The Bible says those that love their kids, they chastise them betimes with correction to drive foolishness far from their hearts. Have you been taught that in church today? Nope, you've been taught just the exact opposite. Just leave it up to God. Don't worry about what's going on. Live in a false version of peace. And I'm thinking of the conversation we just had with Margie a couple minutes ago. Isn't it absolutely crazy? That's exactly what the professors in the church are saying today. No, just live in peace. They're at peace in a world that's at war with God. Read Micah 3:5. Isn't that what the false prophet said? Hey, listen, they're making war against God. That's exactly what they're doing. And they're showing their lack of love. As a matter of fact, they're showing the next generation how much that they hate them because of their unwillingness to actually stand up and fight for them. My goodness, friends. Where God loves, he afflicts. If you don't have chastisements in your life by the Lord, I'm telling you what, you better ask yourself the question if you even belong to him. Folks, I need to say this. I remember when I was first cut off, not by my hand, but by the will of God and by the Spirit of God. It was very real. It wasn't like I did anything, right? But what was interesting is the chastisements that were on me were incredible. And I remember going into church one day, and I remember looking at the pastor, and I'm a drummer, and he wanted me to play drums for the praise and worship band, and it just got to the point where I was tired of it because I felt like I was being used for the purpose, and I didn't really have a desire to do it anymore anyways. And I remember I went inside, and I remember he's a friend of mine, so I'm trying to say this as cool as I can, and he still is a friend of mine. He's like a big brother to me. But I remember him saying to me, because he was preaching the same nonsense, and I know that he doesn't do it anymore, but I know that he was preaching the same nonsense that I'm talking about when it comes to the like of the Copelands and the, you know, these other false prophets that have been put up today. He looked at me and he said, you know, first of all, he said to me, so why weren't you here for service this morning? And I just broke. I just said, I'm done. And I turned around, I was walking out, and he came over to me and said, what's wrong? I said, I don't know what's wrong. I said, I am broken into 1,000 pieces. And when I look at scripture in Isaiah 66, verse 2, the second part, when I look at Isaiah 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. O Lord, thou wilt not despise. When I look at scripture and understand the process that I went through, I had to turn around and say to him, because until a man becomes nothing, God can create nothing out of him. I had to turn around and say to him, what I read at home concerning what the Word of God and the patriarchs of the faith went through, it's in contrast. It's running antithetical here. I'm not hearing any of that. You're telling me something's wrong here in this building, but yet when I go home and I'm in the Word of God, everything is right, but when I come into the building, everything is wrong? Oh my goodness, did the Lord put me into school? The Lord always puts you into school, friends. He keeps you in school. If you belong to Him, He'll always keep you in school. He's always there to show you who you are not, to show you who He is. That's called putting on the righteousness of Christ. But what I want you to get, friends, is this. I was chastised at every given. I can feel it right now. I can feel it right now by the Holy Ghost. When the Lord chastised me that way, what He was doing was He was edifying me, and He was building me up to grow in grace. And that's what His corrections did, and that's what His reproof did, and that's what the instructions of the Lord do when the Holy Ghost is involved with the man of God that or a woman of God that He is building up in Christ. You'll be conformed into the image and likeness of His Son. And you'll be taught by the Spirit of God to hate the things of the flesh, even despising the things of the flesh. After all, if we belong to Christ, we've already mortified the deeds of the flesh. But we got to keep going back to the cross because of our carnal nature. But folks, His chastisements are heavy, man. And if they weren't there, I would ask Him where He's at. And I want to say this, and I want you to get the heart of what I'm saying. If God loves anybody, He loves me. Not the way that you would see as to how He loves me, but the demonstration of the Spirit of God in whipping me in line with His Word, in building me up in Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Oh my goodness. And I'm saying this and I'm being facetious. He doesn't love anybody. He loves me more than anybody. Why? Because of how many times He has chastised me. Hey, friends, listen to me. You need to hear me. He chastises those that He loves, not those that He hates. I remember hearing a preacher one time say, it's amazing how everybody else could get away with something, but every time I did something wrong and I knew what I was doing was wrong, the Lord didn't let me get away with it. Yep. That's a man or that's a woman of God that's being raised up by the Holy Ghost. And I know I'm talking to some of you folks. I know I am. And I'll tell you what, if this is a reminder for me as well, it grows not tedious. It's not tedious for me to remind myself of how much He loves us. And I'm talking about action. I'm not talking about going around. Hey, folks, again, even everything that I preach on this show, every time I preach at church, it's about what He's done through me. I can't talk outside of that. Man, his chastisements are heavy. Why? Because he has a hippie talk, a heavy love for this punk. And how could it be otherwise in seeing how much his son loved me by going to the cross for me? As he takes my sin on and he bestows upon me his righteousness in exchange. How could we do otherwise but to love him who has done so much for us? But I'm here to tell you, just like Thomas Brooks, when you look at where God's love afflicts, you better understand he afflicts because he loves. Scripture's clear. In thy faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me, O Lord. In thy faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. In his faithfulness. Why? That we might grow up and look just like him in the Spirit. Thomas Brooks ends in love, and wherever God afflicts in love, there he will first and last teach such souls such lessons as shall do them good to all eternity. If you enjoy the special presence of God with your spirit and your afflictions, then your affliction is in love. And then he ends and says, hast thou a special presence of God with your spirit strengthening of that stilling, of that satisfying, of that cheering, and that comforting of that in the multitude of your thoughts that on my troubled, intricate, and snared, intertwined, and perplexed thoughts, as the branches of a tree by some strong wind are twisted one with another, as the Hebrew word properly signifies, thy comforts delight my soul here, is a presence of God with his soul here, our comforts and delights that reach the soul here, is a cordial to strengthen the spirits. Hey folks, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of his law. That is not changed. It is merely fulfilled. And if that applies to you, you're in a blessed state, not in a cursed state. Love you by what we do. And all of you fickle ones who could care less, you're on your own. You've been told, you've been warned. Your blood is off my hands. Love you by what we do. And we will talk to you in 23. See ya.
Eat the seeds.
So that you can tell people you do every time. I'm going to do it right now. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Because I've had 20 already today. And so there we go. There's my 10 more. I'm going to eat it so we can tell everybody.
There's my 5.
All right. Good. I'm glad you're keeping on it. The amount of feedback I'm getting.